Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, how to transfer between states and industries, part one of two. Here we go. One of the most difficult things to do relative to careers has got to be changing locations across the country or across the states or between industries. I mean, those are all, they're hard.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Lots of people want to do it and they rarely see it from the company's perspective. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And then whether it's, you know, moving to be with the spouse or the adventure of travel, some folks get a kick out of that, or moving out of an industry that has been or gone stale. Or is a downward spiral, and I don't know, newspapers seem like a good case of that these days. But there's often a lot of good reasons for wanting to do something so hard.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about it is when I tell people, you know, that's pretty hard. Hey, look, it's doable. People do it all the time. It's just harder than a typical move, staying within your industry, in your location. Right. And when I say to people it's hard, they of course always bring up an anecdote of somebody they knew who did it. And, you know, anecdotes aren't evidence, but nevertheless, the issue is that companies are seeing it from their perspective, how much desire they have, how much they want. The important point for them to remember, as is always the case when it comes to career transitions, the power is with the hiring company. And from a company's perspective, changing industries is very unusual. You know what? You know, we're essentially hiring somebody with no ability in our industry. And if you're changing, if you're moving between states or between countries, there may be logistical costs. You know, why are you moving? And you know, you said spouse, if you're following a spouse, right? I mean, okay. So in other words, your career won't take precedence. So in a couple of years, we might lose you if your spouse does really well. We don't want to root against your spouse, but nevertheless, your spouse doing exceptionally well might create problems for us in terms of our investment in you.
Exactly. Well, luckily though, this is Career Tools. And today, I'm sure you're going to give us the silver bullet for this problem.
Yeah. Oh, I wish you hadn't said that, because of course, well, you and I both know from talking to people, Wendy and I talk about this, is that there really isn't any silver bullet with a change like this.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, you know, we say this is Career Tools and there isn't any, but unfortunately there's not, you know, people want that in manager tools, right? And we have to tell them there aren't.
Okay. So there's no silver bullet, but certainly there's got to be something we can do to make this more possible.
Yeah, there are. There's some simple steps you can engage in that will reduce your risk and increase your chances. And some of them are common sense, some of them are not. And, you know, it will give you some things to do, again, to reduce the risk. So we have six steps. First, we're going to be clear. Let's just be clear about why making this kind of change is harder for lots of good reasons from the company's perspective. The best way to approach this, number two, smaller steps are better. Folks, don't try to change industries and countries at the same time. There are too many moving parts in that situation. And unless you are really, truly exceptional, and if you are, we wish you well, and we hope it goes brilliantly for you. But the vast majority of people who think they are truly exceptional are not. But smaller steps are better. It certainly helps to have a foothold in the new place, to already have some sort of establishment physically in the new place if we're talking about a physical change. Number four, you're definitely going to need more help during the process, and we'll describe how to do that. And number five, you've got to demonstrate real reasons why you're making the change. You can't just say you're leaving a dying industry, right? And you've got to have a longer-term goal. It's okay to move for your spouse, but you've got to have a reason for why you want who you're talking to and where you're going, okay? And number six, interviewing skills become paramount here. You're going to have to interview 10 times better than other people. Now, fortunately, in the land of the blind, the one I made is king. So it's not impossible. You're just going to have to really prep well to make this kind of transition.
Good. Now, I fear that we're going to disappoint a few folks with this cast, because making this kind of change is harder. Why is that?
Yeah, of course, you know, people say, you know, I want to make this change because I don't want to travel every other weekend to see my spouse. You know, I want to move someplace cool like London or New York or whatever.
Sure.
Or they want to get out of the newspaper industry. And as we said, there's no magic answer. But look, here's why. From the hiring manager's perspective, hiring someone new is risky. You know, it's funny. I've often said, you know, Horstman's First Law, it's all about people. And the most important thing managers do is hire. And we espouse the Christmas rule, right? Something you do rarely once a year and don't prepare for. And then you consider it very important. We tend to be poor, do poorly at it. Thus, the post-holiday, the during holiday stress out and the after holiday sort of hangover that so many people go through. True for hiring too, right? Managers do it once every year or two. And we say to ourselves, we need to get better at it, but then we get swallowed up by work and we don't get better at it. But because managers aren't very good at it, and because they know there's very little margin for error, hiring somebody new is always risky. You know, I'm amazed. People expect us to draw a perfect caricature of the person from reading a resume, but you cannot tell that much from a resume. And frankly, nowadays, you know what, folks? Wendy and I talk about this. We just don't believe resumes. I mean, we have to have a healthy skepticism. We're not accusing anyone of a lack of ethics. We're just going to be intentionally cautious about things, and red flags rise up much more quickly than they did 20 years ago. And frankly, if you can't tell much from an interview, from a resume, for most managers who aren't very good at interviewing and are terribly afraid to make them difficult, you can be nice and still make them difficult. An hour-long interview won't tell you very much either. So you've got a big hole to fill. It's really important, and you don't really know a lot, and you can't really learn a lot. Hiring somebody new is risky. Interviews, when they're done poorly, are really bad predictors of somebody's success. But look, we're human. We want to meet somebody, look them in the eye, and believe that we have that special something that allows our gut to be right. And as Wendy says, for 90% of managers, you don't. I'm kidding here because I say that too. I'm not blaming Wendy for that. And, you know, so often our gut reaction isn't right. And managers can't be dissuaded from their point of view. So look, managers insist on interviewing. And what ends up happening is managers end up hiring somebody who's a lot like them or others that they know in order to mitigate the risks they know exist in this process they're not very good at and yet is very important. And yeah, okay, when I say that, there are people out there who go, God, that's stupid. I mean, managers should be better. And of course, the moment you use the word should in management or even careers together, you sort of, you know, that's a red flag that it's an indicator that the thinking is off. And it is, because the fact that managers should doesn't mean that they do. And in fact, they don't. We should be better and we are not. And so managers engage in stupid behavior. Hiring managers, recruiters engage in stupid behavior, and they will attempt to mitigate risk. Now, frankly, there's nothing wrong with mitigating risk, but that's the reality you're facing when you seek to transfer. And when you add complexity, you're coming from a different location and you don't have roots, or you don't have the kind of industry background that 10 years working would normally give somebody if they were in that industry, it just makes it harder. Look, when we're looking for somebody like ourselves, you know, I consider myself a local after I've been in a place a couple of years. So I'm going to be looking for other locals, you know, us and maybe one of our competitors are here and we've hired a bunch of people here who are locals. And so surely we can find a local. So if you're moving, you know, I worry if I'm the hiring manager, if I employ you from across the country, you might get homesick. You might want to go home. It's hard for me in an hour to assess your professional skills, let alone your emotional maturity and ability to handle lots of stress, work stress and move stress and personal stress and cultural stress and social stress and so on.
Right. Well, yeah. And the relationship you move for, it might not last, unfortunately, right?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, even if this is your new home, you still have an old home. And as I read a famous author once, home moves gradually, right? Even if you pull up roots in London and move to Atlanta, the first month you're in Atlanta, you might say this is home. But when somebody from London calls you and says, come home, you know what they mean. And so when you still have a home in that other place you moved from, if we're talking about a location change here, you're going to need extra time off if someone from, quote, home, right, gets sick, right? And it gets even worse. You know, I mentioned London to Atlanta as thinking two big cities, but that's that even compounds it because we're talking about two different countries as well. Language barriers, even London to Atlanta. there's education differences to deal with. I mean, if someone said, Mark, you need to move to Barcelona, I'd be excited about it. We know some great people there. And because I have kids, the question would be, okay, what are the schools like and how does it match up? And what will that mean for Drake and others?
Right. So what if it's different than that? What if it's not so much location? I mean, it could be location as well, which is going to compound the problem. But what if it's just simply moving between industries? We don't have any cultural or language or even location issues to deal with. Are there challenges there as well?
There's challenges and there's stupid manager behavior too. Look, you know, I'm thinking about hiring you. You're in a different industry. I grew up in this industry, right? It's likely that I did. And I attribute my success to the fact that I got my training in this industry. Now, a great majority of early career success is not because of industry specific training. It's probably because of relationships and results. Now, don't get me wrong. All things being equal, if I have somebody with 10 years in the film business and I'm hiring for the film business, I'll probably prefer them, all other things being equal, which is one of my favorite career phrases because it's never true. But in the large numbers, it is. I'll always prefer somebody from the film industry to somebody from the railroad industry, right? We mistakenly believe that the training we got in our first 10 years in the film industry came from the film industry, when in fact, they were just early career training opportunities, you know? And frankly, I don't know what training is available to people in the railroad business. I mean, do they do the kind of stuff we do? I don't know. Maybe everybody in the railroad industry already knows this. I don't know that. And I don't know enough about the railroad industry. I just don't have a sense of this intricacies of how things work over there to know what you know or don't know. And there's no way I'm going to get that on a resume. Now, that's for the average manager. There are some managers who can see past it, but this is why we're saying, you know, we have to think about the average hiring manager. When we give career advice, we have to think about the average hiring manager because you're not going to be able to find that one. Randomly, we can't be sure that you'll find that one exceptional, insightful, willing to look past surface differences in order to find the true gem among the rocks. We can't be sure you'll find that manager and be able to go to work for her because she gives you a great interview that shows really how good you are. So again, it's easier for a hiring manager, you know, in terms of looking at you and the career change you want to make, it's easier for them to choose someone who's a known quantity, whose background they understand, who's local. Again, it's risk mitigation. It's as simple as that. This is the mindset that leads to the barriers you're trying to overcome. So that's why we say it's harder to make these kind of moves. Now, look, this is Career Tools. We've got some guidance. We've got some recommendations. It's not impossible. You know, please, gosh, we don't want ever to be thought of as discouraging somebody's dreams, right? Gosh, I walked by the refrigerator tonight and I saw my quote there, you know, live the life you want to leave. I think it's Thoreau. Go confidently in the direction, you know, that you want to go. Live the life you've imagined, right? We tell people all the time, don't do a job you hate. So if you know the job you would love is in someplace different or in an industry different, okay, you're going to have to make that move. It is not an easy move. You've chosen a tough situation. You're hitting major league pitching from day one when you pick up a bat. And so it's going to be harder. There are people who have the attributes the hiring manager wants, who are local and have the industry background that he or she wants. Frankly, it's not illegal to discriminate against someone because you're located across the country or because you don't have the industry background, right? A manager can say, all things being equal, I'll choose the person from our industry. And that's not illegal, right? So there's higher risk and managers tend to avoid that when it comes to hiring. And that said, really what we're here for is what can you do?
Yeah, please. Like enough.
Yeah.
Enough negativity, man. You've got me down and I'm not
looking for a job. Look, you know, and the thing is, it's kind of like a role switch, right? I mean, usually I'm the positive one. I stay upbeat. I stay happy, sunshiny. You know, you're the dark one. And so I just thought we'd switch roles there briefly.
Good. It's let's go back the other way because this is no fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Fine. Whatever.
Okay. So let's talk about what we're going to do. And you said earlier when you were summarizing the steps, smaller is better.
Yeah. Look, the way to make this move artfully, the real key thought to have in your head is, how can I demonstrate I've mitigated the risk for the hiring manager before he has a chance to worry about it? The worst thing in the world is for him to get a resume, not realize you're from a different industry because you've genericized your resume, or not realize you're in a different location, get excited about you, and then discover that later without anything from you indicating that it's not going to be as big a risk. If you can show that the risk to that particular hiring manager isn't as great as she thinks it's going to be, you're going to have a chance to interview. And then, provided you can be really, really good in the interview, you really do have a shot.
So how do you do that?
We recommend you take small steps. Now, look, okay, fine. You say to yourself, well, gee, I don't want to do that. I want to go from operations in a call center all the way over to marketing, right? I want to be an analyst in marketing.
Yeah, you want to do it right now too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because frankly, some people would say it's unbearable to be in a call center for one more minute, and you don't want to stay at your company. Although, frankly, I like call centers, but that's just me. But again, the start of this is get in your head that hiring manager. From their perspective, you know, you want to come into marketing, you want to be an analyst. You've never been an analyst before. You've never been in marketing, and you're in call center operations, both of which I don't know anything about. And so I can't imagine they're relevant to our experience. But look, suppose you're in call center operations, but you started creating relationships with the marketing people in your current company. Maybe you helped out on a project to market the call center you work in. Now, somebody's out there saying, what? I want to move now. And what we're saying is, go ahead, try. And we're the ones that told you it's devilishly difficult. Okay. On the other hand, if you're willing to say, okay, I want it now, but it will be almost insurmountable. And look, if you do it, please write us a note and tell us you did it. You know, you thumb your nose at us a little bit, but we'd be pleased for you, even as you, quote, prove us, unquote, wrong. But while you're doing what you're doing, ask yourself what you can do today without leaving where you are, without leaving the security of your job, to make yourself more appealing, right? So again, you could volunteer for a project. You can ask your boss, what might I do to make connections, make friends with people in the marketing department so that they'll consider me? If in fact marketing is considering a new product, offer to be on the test team of the operators that are involved in making the test calls for that particular product. You know, suppose that went well, you might be able to interview for a role in the marketing department in your current company as the lowest level person. And you might say to yourself, well, gee, I don't want to take a step back. And we say, okay, you want to move across the country, you want to change industries, and you want a promotion too. It's not a matter of plus one, plus two, plus three harder. It's times 10, times 10, times 10 harder. And suddenly it's 1,000 times harder when you put all this complexity on it. And so one way to do it is say, I'm willing to take a step back. And maybe that means being an analyst in marketing here for a year. You're much more likely to get the role of a marketing analyst in your company than applying for a marketing role outside of your company. There's a narrow application of this rule, which is, you can't cross a chasm in two jumps. And the way that applies to sales is, oftentimes salesmen look up at the sales management in their company and they say, gee, you know, there doesn't look like there's much opportunity here. I'm so good. I'm going to get promoted into sales management at another company. In other words, I'm going to get another company to hire me to be a sales manager. That almost never, in fact, I have never heard of it happening. I'm sure it has. But I have never heard of company B hiring somebody from company A as a salesman and hire them into a sales management role immediately. And in fact, this is often where dangles occur. If you don't know what a dangle is, we have a podcast. Go to the website, search on dangle. You'll discover a great podcast about job changes that are inherently dangerous. They're called dangles. You know, and the company says, yeah, we definitely want to hire you as a sales manager, but of course you wouldn't have any credibility in that. We've got to build your credibility with people in the field. So we'll put you in the sales force for 6 months and then we'll give you the job. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to get that sales manager job at all. You're being hired
2 years
as a sales
later,
manager.
You're still waiting.
Yeah. And probably the person who hires you had good reasons for that 6 month to 2 year delay. So yeah, you're going to have much more success trading on your knowledge and your success and your results in your existing company if you want to move to a different division, a different role. In fact, you know, a different industry, if you will, within your own company, from marketing, from call center operations into a marketing role. And probably in the beginning, it might very well be an analyst role.
Right. But even at the beginning, it's not even a role in the marketing department. If you do as you suggested, which is go out and start working with the marketing folks, when you're still in the call center, you start to develop a track record. You're doing marketing activities. Maybe you're not in the marketing department, but you're marketing.
Yeah, and the people in marketing know you now, and they know your capabilities, as opposed to having to read it off a resume or guessing about how you're going to make the transition. All you have to do is do well on the project, have those people know you, get a chance to interview. And by the way, now you're changing roles or jobs or specialties, if you will, but you're changing it within your company. And because you've gone through the small step process that Career Tools recommends and you've done the project, now you're not at a 10x disadvantage because you're trying to make this change across companies and so on. You're at a 5x advantage because the marketing people know you and they want to hire you because you, again, hit the ball out of the park, as you said.
Right. And now you're in marketing.
Right, exactly. 18 months later, you have a much stronger case to make to a hiring manager outside of your company. Now you've got experience, right? You've made this move in a couple of small steps, project and then internal marketing role. And now maybe you're making a marketing role from company A to company B, same industry, but across the country. Now you've reduced the level of complexity to just one. Or if you were always going to stay in, let's say, San Jose, for instance, then instead of trying to go from company A in call center operations to company B in marketing, you stay in company A, move to marketing, and now you're just making a move from one company to another in marketing. That's how everybody makes career moves. And as long as you're staying in San Jose, there's no additional level of complexity.
Right. And it's easier because you're in marketing. So you're building your network of marketing folks as you're going to conferences or meeting other marketers. Not only do you have the marketing experience, but you have the
people in your network that you can call. Of course, people are saying, oh, they chose marketing for that reason. But this works in reverse, too. If you were an analyst in marketing and decide you didn't like it and you wanted to be in operations in the call center, you could move to call center operations. And in your first year, if you're smart in call center operations, you will be building your network of other professionals in your geographic and hopefully a little bit wider than that network that will be part of your ability to move from company A to company B in call center operations. It works in every industry, in every location. You know, there's an old saying, we overestimate what we can achieve in a day. Surely everyone who's listening agrees with that, coming to work on Monday morning with the three things they're going to get done, only to be starting Tuesday with the three things still not done.
Yeah, I proved that just today. So role is still in existence, yes.
Yeah. I was supposed to finish. My big role today was to finish a podcast, and it's not done yet. It doesn't help at all to be on a plane flight and put your head back and wake up 3 hours later at touchdown. Having hadn't gotten 1 hour of sleep the night before. But look, it said we overestimate what we can achieve in a day and we underestimate what we can achieve in a year. You know, this is classic, right? That's why we don't start exercise plans or healthy eating or we don't start studying to become better at things. Look, you can't move to a new company, a new discipline, and a new industry in one day. Neither Wendy nor I haven't asked you, Mike, but I suspect it's true for you. We've never seen it happen in all the years of work and interviewing that we've seen collectively.
I've seen people try, but never
succeed. Yeah. But look, you can make it happen in 2 years if you're willing to take small steps. And look, if you ask for a cookie and you say, I'd like a cookie now, please. And they say, no, but you can have one in 5 minutes. And you say, well, I don't want it then in 5 minutes. Then two things happen. One, you don't get the cookie at all. And two, the person with the cookie is thinking, you must not have really wanted it. So you got to ask yourself, do you really want it or not? And by the way, most really effective career moves are the result of thought and small steps anyway, as opposed to big cataclysmic changes.
Exactly.
So again, let me just sum up there. If you're in job X in company A and you want to go to job Y in company B, the way to do it is to get job Y in company A before you do it. You know, if you're in job X at company A and you're moving to job Y in company B, you have two variables at work, different company, different specialty, right? Industry or specialty, right? What you want to do is reduce one of those variables, right? If you reduce the specialty of marketing versus call center, you know, operations, if you're in marketing now, then all you're doing is making a standard move. So you want to reduce one of those variables, one of those levels of complexity, and it makes it much more like a standard move.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. So long.